The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Amen. I believe darkness asks itself, how can the light outshine me? Amen. The translation here, the NIV says at the end, but the darkness has not understood it. The New Living Translation says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Never extinguish it. The English Standard Version says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The International Standard Version says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness never put it out. But I like the NIV one says, but darkness has not understood it. You see, the enemy cannot understand in his limited, darkened way of thinking in what God has in store for your personal life with the Lord. The enemy of darkness cannot and will never be able to understand the power and the understanding of the light of God. Darkness on its best day at the cross of Calvary, amen. When the devil thought he had the victory, he understood the death of Jesus as having victory, but he didn't understand that he was truly being defeated. Other scripture says if they would have never crucified Jesus. Darkness cannot understand the light of God. Two things we must see here. I'm going to speak of two. We've already gone over these within this series I've been doing about being the light of the world. And the first one is in John 8:12. And this one is that Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. But we need to go into the whoever follows me. The Bible goes on to say, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The second scripture that ties into the whoever is one that we know also, Matthew 5:14. This is what happens when we follow Jesus. Verse 14, Jesus speaking to us saying, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So here we come. The first thing we need to find out this night is that God is the light of the world. The second thing to find out here this night is that we are also the light of the world. When we follow in Jesus. Amen. We've come to find out opening scripture that darkness can't understand the light. If you want the enemy to stop understanding your natural ability business, if you want the enemy to stop understanding what's going on in your marriage, in your children, in your house, at your job, if you want the enemy to get off of your game plan, you got to get in the light, you got to get in step with Jesus, you got to follow Jesus. As you follow Jesus, you become the light, amen, that he cannot understand. What is he doing now? He's been in the street corner 20 years of his life. What is doing in church this night? What's she doing in church this night? Why is she in church this night? I had her slam dunked in the hood. I had her, nobody could save her. What is she doing in church tonight? The enemy can't understand what you're doing in church tonight. Stand up, homeboy. I'm putting you on Front Street. Stand up, post up. You'll learn how to post up for the Lord now. Amen? Amen. I was in my rehab today, and my phone was going off the hook. We're all family here, amen? We're all family, dog. Amen? And my boom, 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 I kept my phone buzzing. Oh, my God, the house is on fire. Amen? Burn, burn, burn. And then I start seeing that JR is here. JR. I don't know no JR. He said he knows you. He was the one that sold he told me to tell you that he's the one that was slinging dope by the church. I said, oh, that JR, you can sit down now, JR. That was 10 years ago. I would live right next to him, those apartment complexes by my old house. Amen. And I would witness to him on a daily basis. He had the whole corner sold. He had guys running dope for him all over the place. And he was on it. He was just all over the place. And I would watch him from my window. I says, one day, maybe next week, maybe a month, a couple of years from now, but he's going to check in. Before he know, he's going to check in. Amen. He comes to my house this morning broken. Says, Pastor, my time has come. I need help, man. I need help, man. I'm done with that lifestyle. I need help. So I would counsel him. I led him to the Lord and everything. And he's been hanging out because the men have been working all day long, amen. And he's been hanging out with waiting for the rehab to get back, amen. But the enemy's trying to understand, what is he doing here tonight? Dang it, am I losing him? What is he doing here tonight? He shouldn't be here tonight. That man put in some long hours for the enemy. He shouldn't be here. I called up his PO, probation officer, whatever, Kathy or Kelly, whatever her name was, you know, and I talked to her. I know what they need to hear. I said, I want to thank you for being so cool, man, because he was up and dirty and stuff, amen? She could have railroaded him, put him back in, but she was being real nice on the phone. And I said, you know what? I really want to thank you for being understanding. I really want to thank you, but you know what? I says, I'm doing my part. I'm taking him in. You're giving him grace and mercy. You're allowing him to partake of the program that will change the rest of his life. But now the ball's in his court once again, and it's going to see what he does. But I acted cool when he was at my grave. Hey, JR, what's up, dog? Inside, I was, yes. Darkness this night, we all have a story where darkness thought it had the upper hand and the victory upon our lives. But then the light of the world, not any light, but the light of God entered our lives. And now enemy's still trying to understand what the next step of the Lord is. You see, here this night, Spirit speaking already. We are in charge. We make the decisions here this night whether we're going to walk in the light or walk in darkness. We are in control here this night. When we follow Jesus, we have the light of Jesus. That represents the victory of Jesus. If you want the enemy off your game plan, get in the game plan of Jesus, which is the game plan of the light. The game plan of the light. Too many times the enemy knows our every move because it's in the natural. It's in the natural. The Lord is wanting his sons and daughters to follow Jesus. To follow the light, to become the light, to become the glory and have the power in your life. For all of a sudden, darkness is no longer in control. Tables have shifted here this night. God is the light of the world. We too are the light of the world. The second thing we need to know is wherever light and darkness come into contact, wherever light and darkness come into contact, light always wins. Light always wins. Light always wins. I don't feel like turning off all the lights in the sanctuary right now, amen? But if I was to shut them off, darkness would win. It would get real nice, really dark in here, real quick. But if by the flick of the switch and we're turning back on, light ultimately wins in the natural. But it also, more importantly, light always wins. Jesus, we could say, always wins. The Jesus we serve is the God of victory, always on the winning side. Whenever darkness and light come into contact, whether it's a battle, whatever's taking place, the light is sure to always win. Darkness cannot understand the light of God. We have the upper hand here this night. Do not allow the enemy to allow you to think that the odds are totally against you this night from making it. Now, in your ability, you got it right. But in the ability, in the promises of the word of the light of God, the truth is, we can all make it. But we got to get into God's word. We got to apply God's word and become light, not just be called the light. Wherever light and darkness come into contact, light always wins. I'm going to go to a story really quick. 1 Samuel chapter 5. This ain't the Charlie message. This is God's word, God's promises to you and I. The Bible reads, after the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, in other words, they had the victory in this battle. The enemy had the victory with the army of Israel, the army of God, amen? They took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. They carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. So in other words, they brought the Ark of the presence of the Lord right beside the god of Dagon, amen? The god of the Philistines there. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. It was like, it was an accident. You know, he tripped, or there was a little minor earthquake. Somebody shut the door to our son. But the god of Dagon, amen, fell down before the Ark of the Lord. Amen. Took Dagon and put him back in his place. No biggie. Verse 4. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon falling on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. But this time around, his head and his hands had been broken off. See, the enemy got broken off 2,000 years ago. He's still trying to break off people when the truth is he's been broken off by the light of God. The Bible says that this time around, he, just like the first time he fell before the Ark of the Lord, which means the presence of God, his head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why till this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. Here I put here, we clearly see the power of God was real. Even in the enemy's stomping ground. Amen. Poor God was there. The presence of God in the ark was in the temple of the enemy, the god of Dagon, there at the altar there, and he was on the enemy's stomping grounds. And here we see clearly the power of God was real, while the god, little g god of Dagon, was simply a statue that could fall, not once, not twice, but even be broken off. Here we see that the darkness of the enemy, even with its own in its own stomping grounds, in the temple of the enemy, here we come to see that the enemy could not stand side by side with the light of the world, Jesus. Amen? Even though the Ark of the Covenant was in the enemy's stomping ground, so to speak, not just anywhere, but in the temple. Temple. To enter the temple. We come to find out that the enemy can't stand side by side. The light cannot stand side by side. Darkness cannot stand side by side with the light. Though they won the battle with Israel, they had captured the ark. Though the Philistines had won the battle, that is, in the natural, yet God was still victorious that day in the enemy's temple. Though the Ark of the Covenant had been captured, though the men and the women had lost that battle, the battle in that day, that night, in the temple of Dagon would fall over not once but twice and get broken off. Tell your neighbor, man, Dagon got broken off, man. Dagon for Dagon. You got broken off. He might have won. And sometimes the enemy might get a good punch in, get a good weekend, a good month. He might win a few rounds with us. But he's never been able to win with God, the light of the world. And he knows that. So in the battles that we encounter on a day-to-day basis and stuff, we got to stay in the light. We got to stay in the light. And that's going to keep our understanding in what God wants to do. And that's going to keep the enemy not understanding what God wants to do in and through our lives. We are in the offense here this night. We are the ones that understand that the light of the world has saved us with purpose. And here we are, though we've been through some battles, we've won some, and even though we've lost some, amen, here we are tonight because of the God we serve is real and alive, and he's with us this night. Not because of who we are, because of who God is. And the work his son did at the cross. And even though we've lost a few battles, we still are victorious because our daddy is God. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, it don't end there. It don't end there. The Bible says that the Lord's hand was heavy, heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. All within that vicinity, the hand of God was coming down on them because his ark was now where it was supposed to be. Remember, people might have been defeated, but God wasn't defeated. The Bible says that he came upon them with a heavy hand. The people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. I was at the rehab the other day, about two days ago, and the presence of God came down. I was just sharing with a group of men at the table. I was just kicking it. I ate some men's home food, amen. That's why I got speaking tonight. It was that men's home food. You know, I usually say, nah, I'm okay, I'm not hungry. No, I eat it because I know that's good food. That's manna food. It was some noodles I don't know who tried to make and some hamburger meat and all that, but I ate it all. For dessert, true story, for dessert, it was potato pie. And I took Adam with me. He told Marco how to just do this and then just put it in the freezer and it'll harden up. And praise the Lord, we're gone. We get back and it's time, yeah, man, I got a sugar tooth. I want dessert, right? I mean, this is rehab food. It's good for you. Amen? It does wonders. It does miracles. It not just fattens you up. Well, so then came out the potato pie. I haven't had any lately, right? And it came out and it was flat. I said, man, I haven't seen no potato pie like that. This must be a new recipe, right? And then Adam kind of looked at it and says, man, you know, it didn't harden up. He did something wrong. It didn't harden up, right? Did that stop him from slicing it up and passing it around the table? No. So I'm looking at this and I can't use that word, but you know when you get sick, what happens, amen? I says, is this going to give me the, because that's what it looked like, right? I was like, my God, I know you've raised me up in faith and everything, but I'm doing this one for you, God. I'm one of the guys tonight, but that stuff don't look too good. But you could smell the faint cinnamon coming off of it, and we're talking, and they slice up that flat potato pie, right? Everybody's getting it, and I wolf mine down. Amen. It was just one, get it down and be done with it, right? It tasted good, but it never hardened, and it never developed. But that pie was gone, my friend. It was gone. One guy left half of it, and the other guy says, where are you going with that? Give it over here. And right there, Johnny on the spot. So we were all anointed that night by flattened potato pie, amen? And I was speaking. I just started speaking a few scriptures, all of a sudden, I was on the chair at the dinner table, a messed up chair at that, right? And I was kind of rocking like I was in my office. And the Lord just started showing me things when I was sitting with the men, and they were all like this, listening as I would speak. And then all of a sudden, the Lord showed me that I felt when I would close my eyes, rocking that little chair right there at the dinner table, amen, I felt like I was in my office with the Lord. I came to the awakening. I said, man, it feels like I'm in my office right now, right? The presence of the Lord, and I shared with the guys, do you know the same God that is with me in my office is here with you guys right now? I mean, there was no shortage. It was the same identical feeling what I get on a good morning or a rough morning when I sit in that chair. It's just God, the presence of God. I would close my eyes and I thought I was in my office. I said, right now, there's a presence in this home right now that's not only one able to deliver, but two, there's a presence in this home right now that is able to keep you. Not just to graduation, but through second phase and through whatever you're going to go through. Year, I said, there's a keeping presence of the Lord here. It was a deal to my office. And even though the food wasn't all that, the tea tasted like it was dicey, the potato thing was flat. Even though all that, man, the spirit of the man of God in the food was present. You couldn't find it in the biggest fancy house in all Milwaukee, what was in that place that night, which is there right now. As I started to share with the man, It uses the word that the heavy hand of the Lord came down in all that vicinity there. And I remember there being on 15th place. It was a war zone. Juan was there, and he was a witness to when we first came 14 years ago. Man, there was so much gang affiliation on that alley right there. I didn't know nothing about getting a sticker for your car to park your car. We don't do that in California. So first day, I go to the police station, and on the board, it was all the most wanted guys in Milwaukee. You know, a bunch of killer-looking, all posted-up guys. Most of them were essays, right? A few black brothers, and I didn't know them. I'm just checking it out while I'm waiting in line. But every address underneath said 15th place. That's the only thing I said. Why all their mugshots have the same address? And, man, we would find out why. I mean, there were SWAT teams, cars catching on fire, shootings right next to us. I mean, the day we landed here. And I would share with the man that I thought it was just a coincidence, but I would have two girls and a wino or two from under a bush praying upstairs. We would pray the heavens down. I mean, give studies and then go to the car wash and do it again at night until I would lose my voice. And before you know it, within so many months being there, all of a sudden, I thought it was just a coincidence, but the whole alley all of a sudden became like real family orientated. All the gangbangers, everything was gone. And I asked myself, I spoke about this years and years ago, and I said, could it be? Because the Bible says where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. Could it be us yelling like a bunch of maniacs at 6 a.m. that has brought to this vicinity the presence of God, that has brought liberty, freedom, where all the gang members have gone? I said, maybe. But then we would go to this property 7 months later. We would go into 25th and National, and once again, we would get there. And every payphone had 1,000 prostitutes around it, right across at the Quick Mart, at the laundromat here, all kinds of prostitute connections, dealers. I mean it was prostitute city, and every house was all crack city, man, slinging crack. And we got there, and I says, man, God, this looks like a good place. It looks like a good place. And we would start doing the same thing, not only in my house. The rehab for the women would be there. We had the rehab for the men going on. I would be praying. And all of a sudden, we would start doing the same thing, bringing in the presence of God through prayer and word. Amen? And within so little of time, and I'm talking a concentration of prostitutes and drug dealers, amen? Right now, you can go out there and there's still prostitutes, but not like it was when we purchased that property. And all the houses were green boarded, that all the doors had been kicked in. And then all of a sudden, all the houses started getting fixed all down National that were slinging crack. We had been there only so long. And I started saying, could it be that once again, the presence of the Lord now has shifted from 15th place over to 25th in National? Could it be the presence of God? Amen. I preached about it many years ago, of what the presence of the Lord is able to do. Then we purchased this property. Within a short period of the last 6 months, this was probably 99.9999 white. There's so many black brothers down this street living in, and Puerto Ricans and everything moving in. It's like once again, there's a shift taking place. What was bad news for those that didn't like the inner city kind of moving in, what's allowing them to move out is bringing in the plan of God and the people that we reach out to. Could it be that now that we're praying from this location, that the presence of God now has shifted here to 61st on here off 61st National? The Bible says that he brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. The presence of God. In verse 6 through 12, the Bible goes on to read that the Lord's hand was heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must stay here with us, because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon our God. Must stay with us. Amen. We'll see. Verse 8. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, what shall we do with the ark of God of Israel? They answered, have the ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath. Because it was bringing devastation. The prayer of God was bringing devastation upon them. So they moved the ark of the God of Israel. Now it's capitalized. Verse 9. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand, remember it was a heavy hand, was against that city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So he sent the Ark of God to Ekron. As the Ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out. They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, send the Ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place. That's heavy right there. Amen. Or it will kill us and our people. For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy upon it. Those who did not die were tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. Not to Dagon. Verses 11 says, let it go back to its own place. I put a little point before it came out. It says, God's presence is not always good. God's presence is not always good. To the work of the enemy, what was taking place, amen, it brought devastation to them. Because God was at a place that he was not supposed to be. God's presence is not always good. That's why we got to be on the winning side. We got to be with God. You know, it's usually we want to be in the presence of God. But in this instant, they said, get the presence of God out of here. It's killing us. I have another little point here. And sometimes we do things that push away the presence of God. As if he's devastating us because he wants us to change our ways and to follow him, to be in the light and to have the victory and to keep the enemy not understanding. Too many times through our actions, we push away the presence of God as the enemy, the Philistines, were. They pushed it to one city. They pushed it. Nobody wanted the Ark of the Covenant. They seen it coming. They heard the stories. They had meetings with the elders. They knew there was something about the presence of God. And what they knew that was that the presence of God was not in their favor. And even though they had the victory, by the natural ability, they were now being defeated by the God of Israel. Chapter 6, 1 and 2. When the Ark of the Lord had been in the Philistine territory 7 months, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place. They went through so much to get rid of the presence of the Lord. And too many times on a daily basis, I see people go through so much because they push away the presence of the Lord. Tell us, how should we send it back to its place? They knew this guy was not some statue. They knew this guy was living and alive, and he knew who the enemy was, and who he knew who his people were from apart from his people. This God had eyes. This God could see, could move. This God had a heavy hand. Chapter 6, 3 and 5. They answered, if you return the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it away empty, but by all means send a guilt offering. This is some heavy stuff, man. Look at the reverence the enemy's giving to the presence of the Lord. No, nobody had a plan how to move that ark. They didn't know what to do. Do not send it away empty, but by all means send a guilt offering to him. To him. He's alive. Then you will be healed and you will know why his hand has been lifted from you. The Philistines asked, what guilt offering should we send to him? They replied. They didn't want to get it wrong. They wanted to be right. They didn't want to be wrong. They wanted to be right in getting rid of the presence of God. Sometimes we want to be right in our natural ability and by pushing away the presence of God so we can do what we always wanted to do. She looks good. She's fine. I can't let that pass by. That might not come around, you know, quickly. Again, it's slim pickings. He's fine. Yeah, I know. Sure side, but I'm going to take my chances. The Philistines asked, what guilt offering should we send to him? They replied, 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, according to the number of the Philistine rulers, because the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Make models of the tumors and of the rats that they are destroying the country, and pay honor to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. It was not only an attack on them, but an attack on the land, on the ching ching, on the money. This is a heavy verse coming up. Verse 6, the Bible reads, why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When he treated them harshly, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? Remember the story, man, I preached a long series on that. Plagues and everything, finally the death of the first son, and finally the Pharaoh said, all right, get out of here, go worship your God. They had to get God out of the camp. He says, why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and the Pharaoh did? When he treated them harshly, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? As keyboard player makes his way. Here this night, the presence of the Lord brings protection from all this stuff that the Lord was bringing upon the enemy. The Lord don't see us as the enemy here this night. But we've all done it. Sometimes we push the living God out of our life to do it our way. And we bring on the heavy hand of God upon our lives because he don't like us no more. No, he just wants you to stop going the direction you're going in. And here this night, time is now to get in the presence of God. As I was putting the message together, there's nothing greater than being in the presence of God, not just on service nights, but in your own home, having that secret place where you're able to go before the Lord, where you're all by yourself. Or you're not doing it in front of a crowd, or when everybody else does it. I know that the God of Israel is with me. I know the God of Israel is with you. I know the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is with our ministry. His presence protects us. His presence reassures us that even if we looks like we're losing the battle, and even though we might end up in a place that we don't belong, God's saying, I can't hang out here. You're either going to follow me or I'm going to leave you where you're at. We need to know here this night, if you want victory in your life, that even if you lose some battles and the enemy gets a good lick in here or there, I told the rehab that night that that you can lose many rounds in a fight. What determines who wins the fight is the last round. If you go back to the fight of Rocky Balboa, it didn't look like he won that fight. What's the name of the girl? Adrian! Amen. He could just yell her name because his eyes were all closed. He was bloody. And the old man was, I don't hear the bell. By the scorecard, by the points, he had lost. And some of you feel like you're losing here this night. But the good thing about the coming of the Lord is, to me, the coming of the Lord is the last round to a fixed fight. He's our trainer. He's our protector. And he's our judge, a righteous judge. I want to let you know that each and every one of y'all right now got the victory. You may not see it. It may not be in you, but it's in God. So if we follow Jesus and that light's within us, even though we might feel defeated here this night, the truth is you have the victory. Because of the God we serve, he's alive and well as we end this night. Light, darkness cannot go toe-to-toe with the light. The light always wins. Some of you say, well, it always feels like I'm losing. The Bible clearly says that. That's why we fight a good fight. I like that verse. It always comes up at the right time. This ain't no cheesy fight we're in right now. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's one that calls us to stand. It's one that calls us to stand. The Lord says that we are overcomers as well. Here this night, you got the victory. But what are you doing to reassure that you're not pushing the presence of God, even knowing you're by the actions of the day that you commit? During the course of the day, are your actions abiding in Christ as he abides in you? Or could your actions simply be pushing God away from your life? These people were more concerned of how to get rid of the presence of God than being in the presence of God. And that can happen to us very easy. Being more concerned how we're going to do this, and when that happens, then I'm going to do this, and when that happens, then when my pastor talks to me, he asks me, then I'm going to say this, and then when he says this, and we have it all played out. Instead of just simply being in the presence of God and letting God be God. Hallelujah. Right there where you're standing. Where you're standing. I want you to verbally say, Jesus, I want your presence. Jesus, I'm willing to do what it takes to have your presence and not to push away your presence. This night, I give you my life in return for your presence. The name of Jesus, Lord, we thank